Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
As we get to the book of Romans and chapter 1, and I put it in some context this morning, and I share with you this epistle and this message that Paul was trying to communicate to the Christians that were there in Rome, I pray your heart will leap for joy and desire to do more for the kingdom of God. You need to know this. The fields are white unto harvest. We got a great crowd here this morning. We're really quite full. We need those four more pews here very, very soon. And the fact is, outside these four walls, there are thousands in the eastern end of the Upper Peninsula that have not yet heard the gospel presented to them in a clear and understandable fashion. And were they to hear the gospel, they would choose Christ as their Savior. It's our job as the church to sound forth the gospel. We have been called of God to be that Philadelphia church, read about it, Revelation in chapter 3, that's evangelistic. And God has opened the door, and no man can close that door. Harvest time. That's the fall months. Harvest time, where your coworkers and your loved ones and your mom and dad and cousins and uncles and people you rub shoulders with and acquaintances and people you don't even know yet were there led to Christ, and you have a part in it. Let's stand together out of respect for God's word. Romans in chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. I pray God that you'd help me to be a Bible preacher. Lord, the last thing I want to do is confuse people. I don't want to muddy up the issue. I desire to be your instrument, just one of your voices this morning. And God, would you help me to get out of the way? Would you give unction and anointing and the power of God? And Lord, you'd help all of us to recognize our great purpose. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Two people die per second in this world in which we live. 160,000 people slip into eternity every day. Every 61 seconds, somebody is murdered. Every 39 seconds, someone commits suicide. Every second, 26 die by car accidents. Every 3 seconds, someone dies due to hunger. This world is a very temporary place. We're all going to, apart from the return of Christ, die of something. That's why I'm not afraid of COVID-19. We're all going to die somehow, some way. So don't live in a corner. Get the gospel out to others that are dying and tell them of eternal life and how they can have Jesus. The book of Romans is a monumental work. It is a classic epistle or letter. It's a classic epistle, a systematic presentation of New Testament theology. It is a systematic presentation and defense of the gospel. It is listed first, as far as the canon, in all of all the New Testament epistles. It is the sixth epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. He's writing to the believers in Rome. He has never been there yet. He won't get there for another 3 or 4 years. And he writes to them to explain very doctrinally, very systematically. Man, I love the book of Romans. Lays out the gospel of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way. Chapter 1 and verse 17 through chapter 3 and verse 23 show the utter lostness of man. Shows that man without Christ is a colossal failure. Let me say that again. He takes several chapters to lay the groundwork so that you and I will understand that in ourselves, there is no hope. It is a hopeless world in which we live. And all of the religion won't whitewash away sin. It won't take away our guilt. It won't take away the power or the penalty or the presence of sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. So in the beginning of the book of Romans, he lays it out very clearly. And that's not what I'm going to preach this morning. But chapter 1 and verse 17, I'm going to preach up to verse 17. Starting with verse 17 through chapter 3 and verse 23, he says man is a colossal failure. Chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us that man is without excuse. We have the revelation of God, by the way, the written revelation of God, the word of God. We've got natural revelation that points people to a creator. Man is without excuse. God has ordained prophets in the Old Testament, ordained preachers and pastors in the New Testament. He's ordained the New Testament local church. We're to be that lighthouse. Man is without excuse. We cannot stand, we will not stand before God and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. He's going to say, I gave you a book. You could have read it and studied it again and again and again. But you always found something else to do. And because of it, some people never get born again because they never hear the gospel, that schoolmaster of the law in the Old Testament and the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. No excuses. Chapter 2 and verse 1. God is holy. Man has messed himself up totally. And yet, God has made a way for man to go to heaven. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, that's God's goodness, and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's great love. He says in chapter 4 and verse 3, believe. Chapter 4 and verse 22, if you believe, you'll receive imputed righteousness. Chapter 5 and verse 1, you'll be justified. It's a legal term. Chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Man, I love the gospel. I love being a preacher of grace. I love being someone that can stand up and proclaim there's a way for you to go to heaven. In spite of all of your problems, in spite of whatever mess you've made in your life, Jesus made a way for you to repent and come to Christ and receive the love gift of eternal life. I love the Romans road. Romans in chapter 3 and verse 10. Say it with me if you know it. There is none righteous, no, not one. Let's go through the whole thing. Romans 3, you help me preach this morning. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Stop right there. Man's lost. Man's got a big bad problem. But a Savior came. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Man, you believe that Jesus is the very Son of God, that he is deity, and that he went to the cross and died for our sins, and that he rose again the third day, and you put your trust in the finished work of the cross, what Jesus did for you and for I, thou shalt be saved. It's a heart thing. You do it with your heart. And after you do it with your heart, you tell people about it. Confession is made with the mouth. Say, how do I do that? Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love the book of Romans. There's all kinds of other verses in the book of Romans too. It's just doctrinal. It's just so good. It's so deep and so rich and foundational truths. Let's go back to chapter 1. Okay, I've used up about 12 minutes. I'm ready to preach now. But I'm tired already, so you pray for me, all right? This is what it was about. This is what it is about. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Born again people, truly born again people are on a mission. Amen. It's to get other people born again. Amen. He that winneth souls is wise. If you're truly saved, you're walking with God. Everywhere you look, you see lost people. You go to Walmart, you go to Meijer, you go to a supermarket, you go to the gas station. Everywhere you look, you're wondering, is that person saved? I wonder if that person's born again. That person looks like they might be saved. That's constantly on your heart. You've got a burden that God gave you. And truly born again people are on a mission. Paul was that same way. The Roman people were polytheistic. They believed in many gods. They believed Caesar was a god. They were hedonistic, very sensual, very fleshly. They were agnostic. They thought no one could really know the truth. Atheism, they even claimed it back then. It's as big a joke today as it was back then. There's no such thing as an atheist. Everybody knows in his heart of heart, there's a god somewhere. He looks up and he sees the bird singing at the top of the tree. He knows, man, there's a creator somewhere. You know, there's that God-shaped blank. Theologically explained, there's that God-shaped blank that's called universal belief in the heart of every man, woman, and child that tells them there is a creator. And then we've got written revelation to tell us who that creator is. His name is Jesus. And then the gospel is the goal, later on in this chapter, from faith to faith. I think that's verse 17. We're to share it. I'm to share it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not static. It isn't for the church house. It isn't that we come together 1 hour a week and we sing about the gospel and we talk about the gospel a little bit. Then we close our hymnals and we leave the front doors of the church, get in our cars and drive home, and it doesn't impact the rest of the week. That's not the gospel. The gospel changes lives. The gospel is radical. It is not static. You can't put it in a bottle and set it up on the shelf of your home for the whole week and then take it down on Sunday. That really, Paul said, I was separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 2 says, which had promised, he had promised afore by his prophets, by the Holy Scriptures. Number one, the gospel is from God. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you read what we read together. Well, we didn't get that far, did we? Let's go to Galatians in chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1. So much to preach and so much to teach and so little time. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. For I neither received it, that's the gospel, of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll summarize some of this and I'll read a few more verses. Saul of Tarsus gets saved. God takes him to Arabia. He goes to the desert and he spends 3 years there sitting at the feet of the resurrected Savior. He was the apostle born out of due time. To be an apostle, you needed to sit. You needed to sit at the feet of Jesus. You need to be called by Jesus and you need to be taught by Jesus and you needed to see the resurrected Christ. Paul met those requirements and replaced Judas, and God used Paul, the apostle born out of due time, the apostle to the Gentiles, all part of God's plan, and he used him to write most of the New Testament. It says here that I received the gospel by revelation. Just prior to this, in verses 6 and 7, he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, man, hands off. It's God's message. It's not man's message. It's the gift of eternal life. All the work has been done. It is the gospel of done. You say, preacher, what do I got to do to go to heaven? Too late, it's already been done. All you need is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The work was completed. When he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, he was talking about the work of redemption. All of it's done. And then he rose again on the third day. Let's go back to Romans in chapter 1 again. Verse 2 says, which he had promised before by his prophecies in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, that's his human lineage, and declared to be the Son of God, that's his heavenly lineage, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection forcibly authenticates the deity of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just a preacher that died on the cross. It wasn't just a good man that died on the cross. He wasn't just a prophet that died on the cross. He is the very Son of God. We sang it this morning with our little chorus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. He went to the cross. He rose again on the third day. The source of the gospel is none other than God. It is God that originated the gospel. And it doesn't change. People change. Denominations change. Cultures change. But not God. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. The gospel belongs to God. If man touches it, he messes it up. We add something to it. We always do. We add things. That's not the gospel. It's the gospel of grace. The support, of course, is the scripture. Amos in chapter 8 and verse 11 speaks of a day in Israel where there would be a famine of hearing the word of God. My friend, this is not Israel. And that was prophecy concerning Israel. But this is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. Where it talks about the last days and them heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's not a famine of God's word in America. Likely you have more than one Bible in your household. There is a famine of hearing the word of God. That's the day and age in which we live. But you got to know this. There is Bible. The gospel is supported in the scriptures. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for instruction in righteousness. The gospel is supported in the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us we're not redeemed with silver or gold, but by the precious blood of our Savior. Not the money that we have, not our forefathers' religion. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. The substance of the gospel. The gospel source is heaven. God's message. Support for the gospel is given to us in the word of God. Over 400 times it tells us in the book, there's one gospel. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. There's one way to heaven. There was one Calvary. Biggest event in human history. Climaxing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The 6 hours that Jesus hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, that 6 hours of darkness when he bore the sin of the world, of every generation of this world, from Adam until the last man, he had that sin on his body. He was the sin bearer, and that's when God the Father cried out, Eli, Eli, or Jesus cried out to God the Father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, because God, the world went black, the sun went black. Jesus, God had to turn his back on his only begotten son because all the filthy, vile, wretched sin of the world, every evil thought I've ever had, was nailed to the cross in the person of the perfect Lamb of God. Amen. He did it all. One way to heaven. And our Bible supports it and tells us again and again, the Bible is foundational. It is backbone. Look at verses 3 and 4, the substance of the gospel. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, there's more in this. I can't pull all the verses together and have time to do it, but the substance of the gospel is found in one person. Jesus Christ. He is the gospel personified. He lived a perfect life while he was here on this earth. A sinless life. Every day of Christ's life on this earth was a wonder of holiness. Never did wrong. Never thought wrong. Never gave in to temptation. Never. Our Savior went to the cross clean as the Son of God, never having sinned. And then he was made during the mocking to carry his own cross, to carry the instrument of his death. Extreme execution in the Roman, where a man would hang on the cross for hours and hours and hours and literally die of tetanus and suffocation and all. You know, he went to the cross and he did it for you and for I, but he went clean. And he went holy. Our sin was placed upon him. And he took that sin to the grave. Book of Colossians. And then he rose up again as the Son of God. And he left the sin curse in the grave. You know the book of Romans, and we received his righteousness. I gave him rags, he gave me righteousness. I gave him sin, he gave me. I gave him death, and he gave me eternal life. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. I'm only going to heaven because of Jesus and Jesus alone. Tim Rader didn't earn it, not in any way, shape, or form. But Christ is, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's Jesus. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God didn't get any sweet deal when he got me. He got a wretch, a black heart, a big ego. I like to protect my body, looking for a life of comfort, beds of ease, popularity, the praise of men. A broken sinner. And he took my place on the cross. He took your place too. I hope you've received him as your Savior. Because unless you receive him, you don't get the imputed righteousness of Christ. Go to Romans again. Book of Romans. And go to verse 20 of chapter 4. I want to read it. I don't want to preach it. Pastor Bill actually preached this a couple Sunday nights ago. Did a fine job. Speaking of Abraham. Abraham believed God, it says in verse 3 of chapter 4, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That word count in the TR in the Greek literally means to impute. All right? Now he's going to, that's a good Bible word, and he uses the word impute. It says he staggered not, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, that is faith, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, this is illustrated in the fact that Abraham, when he received this promise that he was going to have a child, he was 75 years of age. And then years go by, in fact, another 25 years go by before this child even comes. But even though the child did not come, 75 alone, that would have been a miracle with Abraham and Sarah. But year after year would go by, and Abraham, with great faith, he never staggered at the promises of God. He believed God. And it says in verse, he was persuaded, verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, that's you and me, it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. It says that's salvation. You receive the imputed righteousness of Christ. You take and you get on your knees, you bow your heart before God. On your knees in your heart, no matter where you were in life, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the surroundings, you got alone with God and you bowed in your heart and you said, Jesus, I'm a wicked sinner. I know I'm lost and I know I'm going to hell. Would you forgive me? I receive you, only you, as the Savior of my soul. He takes that wickedness. It was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. When you receive Jesus, you receive his righteousness. And just like that, in a moment of time, you become a son of God, a daughter of God. Just like when you were born physically, that water broke and it happened, boom, there's lots of stories. And there was a moment where, bang, you were born. Wah, the doctor slaps you. And man, they write in your birth certificate, born such and such a date in such a county. When you got born again, your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Born at such and such a date, born again at such and such a date, and in such and such a place. It's recorded. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, don't rejoice that you have power over the evil one, rejoice that your name is written down. Amen. That's a great truth. One more thing. Go to verse 5, back in Romans in chapter 1, and I am closing. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. We're to take the gospel to every nation. That Greek word is ethnos. It speaks of people groups, Gentiles. And Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. The gospel is for everybody, every human being. Look at verse 17. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and that's where it started, and also to the Greek, that's the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here's how people find out about God. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed, manifested from faith to faith. One person getting saved and telling someone else how to get saved. One beggar finding bread and telling someone, another beggar, where they too can find bread. That's how it works. That's what the church is about. That's what the family of God is about. He that winneth souls is wise. They'll shine as brightness in the firmament. I'm not exactly how that all works together, although that in heaven we'll know who the soul winners were. I heard one old preacher illustrate it this way. Actually, I read it. It was an old sermon. I read it in a book. And they were talking about being in heaven, their first day in heaven. A little poetic license here. First day in heaven, and they're looking, and off in the distance, they see a bright light coming. Way off in the distance, they can see it, and they're getting closer and closer. Man, who's that brother that's coming? And as they got a little bit closer, they saw it was D.L. Moody. Great soul winner of the 1800s. He that winneth souls is wise. And it's a family thing. The fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You have limbs in your family tree, people that have not yet been born again. I just thought of this just now. I don't remember the exact number, but I remember a letter that my mom wrote the first year of her salvation to my pastor. He read it from the pulpit. She was embarrassed. She did not intend for him to read it. She was asking for prayer. This is Mom Rader. Now, you all know she had faults, right? She's in heaven now. And I want to get this right because she's probably listening because she loves you people, and I think she still loves me. I'm not sure. And she was a little bit strong-willed, a little bit of a stubborn streak in her. And she wrote this letter to Pastor Merle Amundson, saying, Pastor, pray for me. I feel like I'm losing my burden for the lost. To this date, my first year of salvation, she had led 31 people to Christ. I might be wrong on that number. It was in the 30s. 31 people to Christ. And her concern was her heart was starting to get cold. Fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How many of you won to Jesus? How many of you brought and put their hand in the hand of the Savior? How many will be in heaven because you were a soul winner? The scope is the whole world. The gospel is not static.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.